Well, here now, the volatile political landscape in Britain potentially offers an opportunity to parties from Northern Ireland after next year's election. A real chance exists that the two main Westminster parties may be more reliant on the votes of those taking their seats in Westminster. With his Democratic Unionist Party now very much on an election footing, the leader and North's First Minister, Peter Robinson, has been discussing his party's prospects with our Northern editor, Tommy Gorman.
Well, my target is to get as many seats as possible. I happen to be a Democrat. I actually believe that this is a decision for the people to take. We offer candidates to them and they must make their decision. I obviously want to hold the 8 seats that we have. And, East Belfast is important to me, so I'd like to see Gavin being able to secure that seat.
Could you see 8 or 10 unionists from Northern Ireland really being power brokers?
Well, I think the potential is unquestionably there. I can't recall in my 40 years of politics seeing anything as unpredictable as the outcome of the next Westminster election.
And what stance would your party take in that situation? Would you do a deal in advance? Would you lock yourself into one party, or would it be an issue by issue situation?
Well, the term I used during the conference speech was that we would sustain in office. So clearly, there is the requirement for there to be a programme that is very much in the interest of all the people in Northern Ireland. And I hope you noted that I wasn't looking for any deal for the DUP. I want something that is of benefit to the whole community in Northern Ireland. We're not wanting to be in any cabinet. We're not wanting to be part of a coalition government. We want an outcome that's going to be in the best interest of the people.
You have your party conference out of the way now, and the focus will switch to the talks going on with the different parties, the two governments watching on, participating at times, and the Americans having a watching brief as well. How do you see those talks now?
Well, we haven't taken our focus off the talks. We've been very much engaged. Indeed, no party has produced more proposals and papers than the Democratic Unionist Party has. And we're very keen to get those issues decided. It means that people are going to have to compromise in order to have outcomes. I still honestly believe that it is possible for us to be able to deal with a number of the issues that are before us. I hope we can. I agree with many of the others around the table that we need to lock things down before the end of this year, because as soon as we cross into 2015, people will be engaging in the elections. So there probably wouldn't be any work done until the elections are out of the way.
I know that you said there a number of the issues. There were the matters left over following the inconclusive Haas negotiations. Added to that, you have the budget question. Will you not be able to get all of those matters addressed? Because some people would say unless everything is agreed, nothing will be agreed.
Well, happily, nobody has said that thus far. And in actual fact, when I made that remark, that's not what I was thinking of. What I was thinking of was welfare reform, because that's a massive issue. And I just don't see the level of engagement that's necessary to get that matter resolved. And it's crucial to the future of the Assembly and Executive. Yes, of course, there are outstanding issues from the Haas talks. We continue to believe that the status quo in terms of parading flags of the past is not satisfactory. It does need to be reformed and improved. And we're in the business of trying to resolve issues in Northern Ireland. How far we can get on each of those issues, only time will tell. I get a slightly lonely feeling in all of this, that we're the ones that are putting forward the proposals and we're not getting the same level of engagement and willingness to put out proposals and to test those proposals from other parties.
Is it always going to be difficult doing business with people who have a different political ideology?
Well, I think if you speak to anybody down south or in GB in coalitions, there are difficulties with coalition, and we have a mandatory 5-party coalition in Northern Ireland. I mean, people are angry at politicians who happen to disagree one with the other. We are 5 different political parties, for goodness sake. It's going to happen. There's going to be differences. The fact that we have stayed together in an executive, that's a miracle for such a long period of time. But, you know, it really does get to the stage where we have to get delivery, we have to be able to have a more smoothly operating executive, we have to have a quicker process of getting decisions taken. That means that we're going to have to make changes to the way the Assembly arrangements are worked out. And we have proposals on that as well to try and speed up the process and make it more normal and democratic.
How would you characterise your own experience with your main partners in government, with Sinn Féin? Is it always difficult? Is there always that tetchiness in it? Or at times, does that ease in any way?
No, I mean, I listen to the media at times talking about, you know, they're not speaking to each other and the relationships are bad. I don't think there's been a day that Martin McGuinness and I have met that, you know, we've had cross words one with the other. We have different positions and we argue those positions. We try and get agreement where we can get agreement. There was a difficult period from the flag protest when the union flag was taken down from the City Hall, right through to what happened, particularly in Ligonil, with the parade. All of that made relationships very difficult. I have to say, they have improved over the last number of months, and I think there is a determination around the executive table from parties to try and get this issue resolved. You know, unless we can sort out these issues, then I think it makes it very difficult to deal with many of the bread and butter issues that we face on a daily basis.
Is that your last party conference as leader? If, for instance, you get a good Westminster election result, if you get back that seat in East Belfast, if you win at the age you have, will you reconsider then, or will you do the sums? And, you know, what's your plan, Peter, in terms of where do you see yourself in a year?
You say reconsider, and that seems to suggest that you think I have my mind made up. But I've made it very clear to your colleagues that my position is not bound by the calendar or the clock. I look at events. I look at what is the appropriate time to hand over the reins to someone else. Believe it or not, there are not long queues of people wanting to take on the mantle of either First Minister or leader of a party. I've not been pushed out of the way. There are no people lining up to say we'd like to take over. So a transition is about a number of things. It's about having a willing colleague who's willing to take on the position or positions. It's about finding a moment in time when it's appropriate to do so. It's about ensuring that some of the key goals that you have set yourself in your political life are achieved. And if all of those come together, then the moment is there, and that won't be dependent on the calendar. And when the time is appropriate in terms of the issues that are at stake, then I will happily welcome someone into the position, and I will give them full support as they move forward.
Would there be a danger that if you left after Westminster's before Assembly elections, given all that has been achieved, but also given the fragile nature of say, relationships in the Assembly, that all could come tumbling down in a period of instability?
Well, that's one of the reasons that I haven't started the clock on the issue. It'll be dependent on all the circumstances around as to when I stand down.
And that was DUP leader and Northern Ireland First Minister Peter Robinson talking to our Northern editor Tommy Gorman.